on another subject, that is these flowers that the roll calls have really given us here to brighten our auditorium today for our services. This one has already been spoken for, but there are some others up front. If you would like to, you could foresee how nice that would look in your home. Please, no fighting, no shoving, pushing, kicking, or spitting, but in a calm manner after the service is done. The others are available if somebody wants to take them home with this little notice. This one right here is in a glass vase that the roll call specifically said they wanted that back. And there is another one also in a glass vase. They didn't say anything about that, but I did, and I just told them, we'll give both of the glass vases back to you. So, when they're all done, whoever takes these two with the glass clear vases home, they need to be brought back to the church because roll calls want them. But other than that, everything except the one on the communion table, feel free to help yourself to. Now, having said that, I don't want you to be sitting there planning and thinking all evening service. Now, as soon as he says amen, I'm going to get out of my seat and get it. So you put your mind on the word, not on the flowers, okay? Why don't we look to him at this time? Thank you, Father, that we can enjoy these Sunday night services. We thank you that we can worship you in this way. We thank you that you are worthy of our worship and praise. And I pray tonight in these moments that yet remain, the remaining portion of the service, we trust that will glorify you as well. And we're going to trust you for that. In your name I pray. Amen. Well, I want us this evening, and Andrew, are you writing down? Here you go. Some things never change. Some things never change. I hear that a lot from my wife as she talks about some of my favorite quirks. That's in quotation marks, about how that some things never change. And maybe you have some that kind of remind you of certain things. Maybe they appreciate that about you, and maybe they appreciate you with, how that. It is nice to be able to count on certain things, isn't it? Aren't you glad that, for instance, how many of you ever wonder when you go to sleep at night if the sun is going to be shining tomorrow? Could I see your hands? You always do? You really wonder whether the sun is going to be shining? It's always shining. Now, there may be clouds, but it's always shining. We'll pray for you too, okay? Dick and Margot. Okay. Well, you might have thought that was a trick question. Why don't we wonder whether the sun is going to shine? Because it's been established, God's word, and we know we can count on that, can't we? There are some things that never change. And in this day and age, how good that is. I would like us this evening just to look at some general things that yet have tremendous truth for us, and I trust this will be a blessing on our evening. Hey, I told my wife yesterday, talk about God's faithfulness, how that I could have shared a testimony. Tonight marks an anniversary for me. 30 years ago tonight, the Sunday night before Labor Day, I was standing right down there behind a little flimsy podium, and I was preaching from Exodus about the plagues, about the frogs. And about a third of the way through the message, all of a sudden, the whole world started whirling around. And it so affected me that I just grabbed the side of that pulpit. Nobody knew what was going on. But I didn't know what was happening. I just knew that I felt like, you know, if you look up and start looking around, you're just going to fall over. You're just going to fall over to the right. And that was the start of whatever it is that I have dealt with for 30 years. And tonight's the anniversary of that, the Sunday night before Labor Day. It's not as bad as it used to be. It used to be so bad that if I were driving down the highway by myself, sometimes it would hit me so bad that I was afraid I could not hold the car in my lane, and the only place of comfort was to pull off on the right-hand side and just sit there off the edge of the road and wait until that sensation was gone. And then try again, and hopefully I could get to my destination on the highway. That was the beginning of the doctor's recommendation that you have three choices. You can exercise, maybe it was only two, pardon? Meditation, yeah, that's right. Exercise, meditation, you know, the Eastern meditation, or you could go see a shrink. And I said, I choose number one, I choose to walk. And that was the start in the fall of 1987. Jerry and I walked our legs off. And I wore out her body walking with me, and now she's suffering for it because of all the miles that we walked. And God, by His grace, it did help. Exercise helped. We've been on medication. The first 10 years was just exercise. The last 20 years have been exercise and medication. But with this crazy sciatic, I have not been able to really do that strenuous exercise. God has been good. God has been good. Not being able to exercise, there have been very few episodes. Once in a while, I'll be maybe in the center of Fellowship Hall at a Singspiration or something, and that feeling comes over me that you better sit down, or you better just move to the edge of the room so that you can be close to a wall, or if your wife is standing there, take her hand. And I'll look at her and I'll say, I need this right now. God's been good. God's been good. I poured my heart out to the Lord and told Him, how can I effectively serve You when I'm not even sure that I can stand before the people, and I am constantly struggling with something that will not go away? And it was in about 6 months after that first hit that the Lord showed me very definitely in my office one morning in February of 88. Don't you see, Jerry, this is the answer to what you have been praying about when you said, Lord, you can do anything to me you want to do as long as I might become more like you and more usable for you. Jerry, why have you been fighting me? Don't you see this is the answer to your prayer? There are many people that live with conditions, Jerry, that never go away. They live with conditions that never get better. They live with conditions that they're not comfortable. But guess what? My grace is sufficient for them. And if you will let me, I will show you the sufficiency of my grace in this as well. So for 30 years minus 6 months, as it took 6 months of wrestling with the Lord, I have been thanking the Lord. Many people have said, well, maybe someday it will go away. I don't think so. I don't think the Lord is ever going to take it away, because I know why He gave it to me. His grace is good. Our God can be counted on. Our God, and that's point number one. Some things never change. Number one, our God never changes. Aren't you glad for that? Lamentations, where in the world is, it's right at the end, it's between Jeremiah and Ezekiel, only about 5 chapters. Lamentations 5:19, Jeremiah the prophet said, Thou, O Lord, remainest forever, thy throne from generation to generation. You, O Lord, remain forever. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 says, I am the Lord, I change not. I'm thankful for words like that in God's Word. Quite honestly, I have really counted on the Lord's faithfulness and the Lord's grace in these 30 years, in just seeing how you're right. You're right, Lord. Someone can serve you. Someone can. Life does go on, even though you have an affliction that won't ever go away. Amen, Mark? Amen. And we've had people in our church that have suffered afflictions. Maybe some of you do. Donna Rokal. How many years did that poor woman suffer with MS and the subsequent side effects that came with MS? But God was gracious. God was good. We can trust our God even in the midst of some things that we might not appreciate and might not really be comfortable with. God can be counted on. Our God isn't going to change. In Hebrews chapter 1, verses 10, 11, and 12, we read these words. Hebrews 1, 10, 11, and 12. As we continue this first point of the fact that our God won't change, and thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish. What? You mean there's going to be something that's going to happen to heaven and earth? You bet. It's Scripture talks about that, both the Old and the New Testament. They're going to perish, this heaven and earth that we're so fond of right now. But thou remainest. They all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture or a garment shalt thou fold them up. What a picture. What a description of what God is going to do with this old heaven and this old earth. And the writer of Hebrews says, when it's time for the change of these things, you're going to fold them up just like a worn-out garment that you don't want to wear anymore. There, you're going to fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. Wow. How thankful. We see a lot of things changing around us. Sometimes I think about the changes that have come just to this community in the years that Jerry and I have been here in Hamburg with you. When we first came in January of 1978, there was country between Hamburg and Pinckney. There was a lot of country. There was a lot of farms between Hamburg and Pinckney. How many of you think it's country now? It's just one home or business after another. It got so busy, they even had to slow the speed down on M36. Do you remember when M36 was 55? Yeah. When we moved here, that was before it got so congested. Before it was so... And one day, no more 55. It's all these houses' fault. Now we have to go 45 on M36. But things have changed so. And you just look around. Everything is subject to change, isn't it? Who would have ever dreamed that that beautiful big open field just 1 mile east of Jonathan's would ever change for all those years? That was one of my favorite spots to see deer standing out there. Just this wide open field. But boy, the last 2 years, now we have Legacy Center. They're not done yet on the north side of the road. Oh, here's something else that's changing. Do you know that there is a subdivision going across the street, just slightly this side of Jonathan and Evelyn's? It's going to run from Winans Lake south into the woods, and it's going to come out on Mush Road. You drive through there, you drive on Mush Road, man, they have busted out they've bulldozed, they've already got streets laid out and things like this. Everything changing, but not our God. Praise the Lord. Our God will always be dependable, because he gives us that promise in Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, these words. It says, let your conversation or your manner of living be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that we may boldly say, because we know God's not going to change, we may say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Therefore, as these changes come about, we can say with the psalmist in Psalm 91 and 2 these words, when David said, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Actually, that's not David, that's Moses. And if I'm not mistaken, this is the only one of the Psalms that is accredited to Moses. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. I can count on you. And you'll always be able to be counted on. But then there's another thought that we want to mention. Some things never change, and that's true about our God. But in something else, if you would turn to Isaiah 46, 9 through 11, we discover, secondly, that nothing is going to change His purposes. Nothing is going to change His purposes. Do you know that God has a plan? God has a purpose. God has it all laid out. Look at Isaiah 46, 9, 10, and 11. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning. Stop and think about what is just being said. Now, we can declare the beginning at the end, can't we? We can look back and we can see how things progress. Remember, even as I gave you a little rundown of the changes even here, we can tell you how things changed here because we can look back on it. We lived it. We've witnessed it. But about God, what does it say? He declares what? The end from when? Before it ever happens. From the very beginning, He's already declared the end. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. I will do all my pleasure. He says, calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country, yea, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, I will also do it. You can count on the fact that nothing or no one will ever alter one bit of the purposes that God intends for your life. God's purposes are not dependent upon individuals. God's purposes are dependent upon His almighty nature and character. God can do what He says He will do, and we can count on Him to do it. Nothing is going to happen to you that has not been willed by God, and everything that God intends for you will come about. You can count on God for that. Here's some other references. Isaiah 43. Back up just a little bit. Look at 10b. Understand that I am He, and before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. And then verses 11 through 13 of Isaiah 43. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved. I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore, you are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, before there was ever time, I am He. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it, or who is going to stop me from doing what I intend to do. That's great news, beloved. That's great truth about our God. Daniel 4, verses 34 and 35 tell us this. And these are out of the mouth of an ungodly king who learned who God really was as he lived out in that field and ate grass like an ox for 7 seasons until God really revealed himself. Listen to what this man discovered. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High. And I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion. And his kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. In heaven and earth he does his will, and none can stay or stop his hand or say unto him, just what do you think you're doing, God? That's the modern translation of it. Wow. Well, finally, there's one more thing that we want to close with. We've looked about at this thought that some things never change. God won't change. Nothing is going to change his purposes for the world, and specifically, nothing is going to change his purposes for you. And the last one we look at is nothing is going to change his love for his own. Nothing will ever change his love for his own. One of the best places to turn to that, I think, is Romans chapter 8, and we close with this reference. Romans chapter 8, and we look at the security of the believer as we pick up at verse 35, right to the end of that. Remember, what's this heading? Nothing is going to change his love for his own. Who shall separate us, who or what, from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Quite a gruesome list there of things that one might experience. And Paul said, will any of these things change us or separate us from God loving us? As it's written, verse 36, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Here's even persecution, martyrdom. He answers, he says, no. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And then Paul closes with these glorious words, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature or creation, some translations put, shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Beloved, our security as a child of his is not in question. Changes are going to come. There's changes all around us. Hardships, difficulties, inconveniences. But remember, these three unchangeable things as you go home this evening. God, his purposes, and his love for you. Let's stand and be dismissed with prayer. Bud, could you close our service in prayer with us, please?